You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mama's of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour on the program, can Toronto convince Kawhi to stay after yesterday's celebratory afternoon? Also, did Bone order the hit on Big Poppy? It's coming up this hour on the DA show. As always, you can hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our next guest is a former NFL veteran and a longtime NFL analyst and broadcaster, our friend Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, good morning.
DA, good morning to you too, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure, my man. Thanks so much for joining us. I want to ask you about the Pittsburgh Steelers, because you would assume that when you lose Le'Veon Bell and a guy of his talent, his magnitude, plus a great wide receiver as well in Antonio Brown, naturally the Steelers would be worse. Except Big Ben suggested the other day that it's nice to be back to normalcy. Is it possible the Steelers could be better despite losing that talent?
Yeah, I mean, they lost a lot in Antonio Brown and then Le'Veon Bell, who didn't play for them last year, but obviously his productivity speaks for itself. But they've been preparing for this. They do have some young, talented receivers. There's no doubt that Juju Smith-Schuster was ready, I think, to assume the mantle to becoming a number one wide receiver. I mean, you would prefer to have Antonio Brown and Juju as a potent package in terms of a tandem of wide receivers. But they have some younger guys who are expected to step up. If they step up, then I don't think they'll miss them much. If those young players do not step up and yield high productivity, then we'll continue this conversation throughout the 2019 season.
A lot of people are talking about Todd Gurley's knee, his status, his future, and his personal trainer, Travell Gaines, said something interesting. He said, everybody knew when Todd came out of Georgia there was going to be some kind of arthritic component to his knee, which is part of every surgery, whether it's a shoulder, a knee, or an ankle. So on the one hand, you're like, uh-oh, that sounds terrible, arthritic component of a knee, and we know that Todd Gurley was limited at the end of last season and in the Super Bowl. On the other hand, you go, oh, is it part of every surgery? Is this alarming to you or not a big deal?
It's very alarming. As you well know, I do a lot of work in public relations with life science companies and biotech companies, and a lot of them are orthopedic specialists, and we have conversations just what it means to have cartilage repair. Typically, they go in and they'll scope you and they remove portions of your cartilage. Now, when he had the injury at the University of Georgia, he tore his ACL. Whenever you tear the ACL, you always have at least some form of cartilage damage. Typically, what happens, they're removing the dead tissue and they continue to go back in and remove it. And they can, as you keep playing, they continue to go in and remove it. Until you have nothing left, DA, until you're rubbing bone on bone. And then what happens is you have a bone bruise that takes you out of the mix. And one day you'll look like you're great, the next day not so great, and maybe not even able to play. Kind of like what we saw with Todd Gurley at the end of last year. And so I think it's a week-to-week thing. And I think the Rams ought to be honest with people. But as you well know, due to HIPAA laws, they're forbidden to really talk about Todd Gurley's medical condition. Only he can stand in front of a microphone and tell you what the real condition is with his knee. The team's not allowed to do it. That's why a lot of the injury stuff that you see around the NFL is sacred. They have to keep it hidden from public eye. One, they don't want to give the competition a leg up, no pun intended here. Secondly, they're forbidden by HIPAA laws to disclose anyone's medical condition.
Interesting. Solomon Wilcott joining us this morning on the show, talking about the NFL offseason. We wonder how Aaron Rodgers will respond without Mike McCarthy. And had an interesting quote the other day when he was asked about having controlled the line of scrimmage, audibles, et cetera. And he says, well, it's a conversation in progress with new head coach Matt LaFleur. I don't think you want to ask me to turn off 11 years of recognizing defenses. And so you wonder, is Aaron Rodgers, can he be stubborn in this way where it's hard to work with him? Or does he have a point? Hey, I've been doing this for 11 years. Let me do my thing. What do you think?
I think he has a point. I think he's had more than enough pelts on the wall to ask for the privilege to do so. In fact, Matt LaFleur, who I respect greatly, he's the unproven commodity here. Aaron Rodgers is more proven. And if I'm LaFleur, if I had a lesser quarterback, maybe I'm reluctant to give over that power. But for this guy who's seen so many reps, so many defenses, and so many different situations, I think it makes for a great tandem between coach and quarterback when you can allow the quarterback to play at the highest level without restraint. And so I could see LaFleur giving, I could see Aaron Rodgers having all the power to do that. And he deserved it. I think he's earned the right.
Did you think it was a concern that Odell Beckham missed OTAs with Cleveland?
No, I didn't. I thought it could be a concern, but I wasn't going to overreact to it because this is about how the teammates and the fans and the coaching staff sort of takes that in. If he had communications with his head coach and the coach says, look, it's okay, but the coach doesn't want to go public with that statement, say, well, I gave him permission, because then all the other guys would be like, well, coach, what about me? So maybe the coach, hey, in the conversation with Odell Beckham Jr. saying, look, I know you're working hard. If you're doing some things out in California that's going to allow you to come in here ready to play, then I'm all for it. But let's keep that between us. You don't have to say you have permission to be there. You just do what you do. It is voluntary, so we'll just leave it at that. That's how adults kind of handle things, right? And I think they handled it well, but I do think all eyes are on Odell Beckham Jr. All eyes are on the Cleveland Browns. And so we in the media, we're going to poke and prod and try to get down to the bottom of it. It's just the nature of things.
And what do you think about the Cleveland Browns? Because there are huge expectations on a franchise that has a lot of unproven commodities. It looks great on paper. Are you buying that it all comes together this year?
You know, I don't know. It typically, and you know this, in football, it's not like what the Toronto Raptors did. You bring in new talent, bring in good players, and you win that very same year. Not even LeBron and Dwayne Wade could do that, right? Football is much more difficult because you have more players. The chemistry is so much more complicated. And you need a lot more guys, coming in to help you win games. They have talent on offense. There's no reason they should be able to not only throw the ball but run the ball with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt later in the year after he served his suspension. Defensively, Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward on that defense, you're talking playmakers who can rush the quarterback, playmakers who can cover and possess the ball. So this team ought to win their division, but you and I both know you can't just hand it to them. They've got to go out and do it. And what I'm most interested in, D.A., is how are they going to handle adversity when it hits? But I'm equally concerned how they're going to handle success. If it comes really early, we know that team will lose its mind if this team is on a 7-8-9-game run and beating Pittsburgh. The city will go bonkers. But the players, they've got to maintain their emotions and maintain control, even when they succeed.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. How do you handle success? How do you handle failure? How do you handle everything if you've never done it before? Solomon Wilcott joining us this morning on the show. You have been a very vocal proponent of people identifying their sickle cell anemia or whether or not they have sickle cell, and you're part of a campaign, #SidelineSickleCell. What's the most important piece of the knowledge of this for our listeners?
Well, I think the most important piece is to understand that there is now a new drug that's come on the market by Emmaus Life Science. It's the first drug for sickle cell disease to be approved by the FDA in the last 20 years. And so we're going to host and celebrate, really, what is World Sickle Cell Day tomorrow, June 19th, in Brooklyn at Borough Hall, room 209. We're going to be there with the Sickle Cell Thalassemia Patient Network, Emmaus Life Science. And so we just want to shine the light on sickle cell disease. I have a lot of family members, friends. You have probably heard of former athletes who, because of sickle cell disease, they're unable to live out an active lifestyle. This is a painful disease that robs you of your ability to go out and lead an active life, whether you're at altitude or whether you're exercising. The oxygen delivered to the body because of the sickle cell shape, it causes severe pain, even organ and tissue damage, and it ultimately can shorten your life expectancy. So we're here to shine new light on that, and I appreciate you allowing me to come on to do that.
No doubt. The hashtag sideline sickle cell. You can go online, find out more information about it.
Endari Rx.
Gotcha. Dot com. There it is. Our friend Solomon Wilcots, who has spent more than 20 years as a sports broadcaster, NFL analyst. He played for 6 years in the NFL as well, joining us this morning on the show. Solomon, you be well. I'm sure we'll talk to you later on in the summer as we creep closer to football season, man. Thanks so much.
I look forward to joining you again. Thanks again, D.A.
You got it, man. Solomon Wilcots joining us this morning on the show. When we come back here on the program, Toronto had its huge parade yesterday. 1.5 million fans showed up to serenade the Raptors, and it was a beautiful day and a happy atmosphere outside of some of the shooting violence that happened. But for Kawhi Leonard, showered with love and adoration, was yesterday a step towards getting him to stay? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sweatpants at work zone.
Do you hate me?
No.
It's almost like I can't help myself but purposely tick people off. I'm a sick person. There's a lot of people who hate me. Look, Minnesota, beautiful town, great bars, great breweries, sticky people.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
19 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for being with us. Full episodes are available in podcast form. So check it out at radio.com, or you can check it out at iTunes or other places. Podcasts are available. Full episodes are available if you miss anything or want to hear it again. And on our website, go to cbssportsradio.com, click on the DA Show tab. We'll get to our Trash Tuesdays coming up here on the DA Show momentarily. Actually, we'll do that coming up in about 15 minutes from now. So send us your trashes, and we'll read those on the show. Courtney, the First Lady of Trash Tuesday, tweets, I have to trash weddings that run super far behind schedule or when they leave a really long delay between the ceremony, like 4 p.m. and dinner, like 8:30 p.m., especially when there's no hors d'oeuvres in between. Hashtag girls gotta eat or else hashtag girls gonna grub hub to your wedding.
Stinky debris.
Mraz, I could see you getting pinched in a situation like that, a 4 o'clock ceremony, an 8:30 dinner. You're not a happy big boy.
No, I am not. Matter of fact, I got caught up in that last May, a buddy's wedding. We had people actually come back to our apartment in between because it was such a long layoff between. It was like a 3 o'clock wedding and a cocktail hour at 7:30. What we did, we didn't wait. We ordered a couple pizzas and drank some beers at pregame before cocktail hour.
And then I'm sure you ate your full helping of dinner.
Look, at that point, a wedding, you're pot committed. There's no more calorie counting. You're stuffing your face anyway. So what? I had two more slices of pizza? Who cares? At that point, it's white noise. But at least I wasn't starving and cranky going in.
That's why Pete the Body Bilotti's wedding was excellent. There was no delay in between. Bingo bango. We had all the food, all the hors d'oeuvres, all the dinner, the whole cocktail hour. The whole thing was all smashed together. It was beautiful. Timing was great.
Oh, that was the whole point in a lot of it. It was the spacing of it and the food, and that was a big concern of mine.
You can't keep people waiting, man. You've already asked them to pay you in gift form, to pay to come to your wedding if they've got to rent a tux or they've got to rent a hotel room or travel. You've already asked them to take time out of their schedule. You cannot also ask them then to wait to eat.
Which is ironic, because at your wedding we sat through an hour and a half worth of speeches before that pasta station opened up.
I know. And I was sweating bullets on it. That's why I wanted to move it along.
You were sweating bullets.
I can only imagine you.
I almost went into a diabetic shock.
I know. I thought you were going to fall over into the canal.
I almost did.
I thought you were actually going Nass over tea kettle into the Hudson River.
I was about to spray the oil in the wok myself and start stirring up the pasta.
They were running out of wine for me.
It's bad. It's a bad situation when you ask people to wait. Really bad. So yesterday, the Toronto Raptors celebrated their championship in downtown Toronto. And they had more than a million people there. And it was looked like an amazing scene. Such love, such adoration, such incredible excitement and energy inside that city. And you looked at these fans and they really turned out. And they were really loud. And for Toronto, that could be an afterthought around the NBA as a basketball city. And as a country that only has one basketball team professionally. And now, as a country that only has one baseball team professionally after the Expos left, you know, outside of hockey, we don't think about Canada being incredible, passionate sports fans about any of the other leagues. And yet, the Raptors fans showed, the same way Blue Jays fans showed in the early 90s, that they could hang with any great American sports metropolis. They're into it. They're loud. They're knowledgeable. They're passionate. They're fun. And they'll show out for you. And I thought yesterday was a tremendous day for the city of Toronto and really the country. Do I think that changed Kawhi Leonard's vibe, his feeling, his want to leave, or his curiosity in leaving? Maybe a little. Maybe a little. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know what Kawhi Leonard thinks because, again, he's Kawhi Borg 3000. Guessing what's going on in his motherboard of a brain is probably silly. And maybe this entire time he said one-year rental, and in his mind it was, I'm just going to go out there and ball, try to win a championship because that's what I always do, and if I do, great. If I don't, who cares? I'm leaving anyway. But I think watching yesterday, I think Kawhi, I saw actual joy on his face. I think he was actually having a good time. I think he really was into the moment. And yeah, it's easy to celebrate championships. That's the most fun you could have. Not hard to get you to a parade unless you're Doc Gooden in a crack house. It's easy to show up to a parade and celebrate a championship. But I don't know. I saw a little smile from Kawhi. I saw a little bit of happy-go-luckiness. I saw a little bit of vibing. And I think that there is a part of him that can envision staying. How could you not? Now, if he stays, I would say this. If he stays in Toronto, you're guaranteed no Supermax, no five-year deal. Kawhi's doing a one-and-one. The same thing that Kevin Durant has been signing in Golden State. And the same thing that LeBron was doing at the end of Cleveland, 1-1. It's a two-year deal with a player option for the second year. So you sign for one season, then you get to decide whether you want to come back. If Kawhi does it, that's what he's signing. But I don't think it's a slam dunk he's leaving. I think this run, this championship, and that love yesterday, it's hard not to feel the love and say, well, we could do that again. This is really great, and, you know, you get to see what your future and your reality and your present is like at its very best. And I think that Kawhi Leonard, there might be a piece of him that goes, yeah. And in fact, there's been some reports where Toronto should be considered the favorite to sign him. And we've all been pushing him out the door of Toronto for the entire season, putting him with the Clippers or putting him somewhere else. But winning a championship can't hurt him coming back because you get to feel the love. And yes, there's mission accomplished, but I'm sure everybody kind of wants to be happy. And if you're having a parade, you're pretty damn happy. And he looked kind of damn happy for a cyborg. Did he not? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. It is a Trash Tuesday, and our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our friend Dixie Landan, the subject of Side B of the PGP last week, joins us here on the show. Dixie Landan, who are you trashing?
D.A., what's up, brother? Would you let a redneck above the mothership, please?
You know, brother. And I believe this is your first call to the show. Is that right?
It is my first call. So if I'm a little nervous, just give me a minute. I'll warm up.
Don't be nervous. You were great at the PGP, and I'm glad to have you finally call on the show.
All right, D.A. Well, let's see here. Sunday was Father's Day, so me and my wife were going to go to a grocery store and get some stuff. We were going to have a cookout for all of the fathers in my family. And we started going through the grocery store, and we run into the person. We run into the slow walker. We were going from one end of the aisle to the other, and this person was walking about a half a step too slow. You couldn't really want to pass because you'd look like a jerk if you passed, but she was walking too slow, and you were just uncomfortable walking at that speed. And unfortunately, I couldn't have passed this woman if I wanted to because it looked like her butt was about to touch both of the shelves at one time. It literally looked like somebody had took an inflatable raft that you would see on like a cruise ship and stuffed it down into her pants. It was huge. I was scared she was going to knock over some little kid watching her walk down that aisle. Lady, get out of the freaking aisle. I'll give you two options here. Get you a Rascal scooter, because it'll go faster than you can walk, or learn to walk like a crab and walk sideways. That way some of us have got places to be and get around you. Also, this woman had on a pair of white yoga pants, and she had these huge varicose veins that looked like a map of the dang Amazon Delta with all the rivers going through it, with all those blue veins on her pants sticking through. Get out of the grocery store. Go get a click list or something to sit in the parking lot and have somebody bring it to you.
Trasher!
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
How about Dixie Landan's first phone call ever to the show? A tremendous effort, and he was great on the PGP, and he said he was always a little nervous to call the show. Didn't know how his voice was going to sound, was going to get a little nervous. He was great on the PGP, and now just dominated Trash Tuesday.
We found something here. We uncovered something with Dixie Landan on that podcast. Still keep the tweets coming, but if you get a nice phone call like that, this is all about harboring prospects in your farm system.
Yeah, we're looking to stockpile assets.
You have to. Maybe we'll hear from Drunk Jen again now, too, or Hurricane Jen.
Now, was he too mean for somebody that's overweight?
No. I like that he came out fiery.
Okay, because sometimes you don't like when we call people the F
word. No, but he stated on that PGP how much he blew up in college. So, again,
I see. So
takes one to know one.
Okay, so you're okay because Dixie Landan has admitted he has dealt with some weight issues.
Of course. If you've been there, done that, you could kill people who've been there, done
so
that.
So I can't have the same phone call that Dixie Landan just did.
No, you can't.
I can't.
You've never been fat. You haven't tried to be fat.
I have not tried it. No, I haven't tried it on for size.
No, you haven't. You know, you have a couple french fries. Next thing you know, I need some greens in me. You get that out of you. Other people have french fries and go, that was my vegetable.
Morass is fat.
All right, when we come back here on the show, we've got our Trashes for Trash Tuesday and an update on Bone ordering the hit on Big Poppy. Bone. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the doc. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That was the voice of Rachel Bonetta, who is a huge Toronto Raptors fan. In fact, if you were following her on social media during this Raptors run, she was at Game 6 at Oracle and openly weeping. I mean, really crying. And then got onto the floor and started crying even more. We love her. She's great. And congratulations to her and all Raptors fans celebrating the parade yesterday in the championship. We've got your Trash Tuesdays coming up here. You can send it to me as well, DA on CBS. But we've also got the Game Plan for Success sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at a team and their plan for success. The Yankees and Rays continue their important June series tonight in New York. The Yankees increased their lead over Tampa for first place to a game and a half with the win last night. To get it to another game, they'll need a big effort out of J.A. Happ, who despite his 6-3 record has been anything but reliable. He likes to be called J-Happ, pitching to an ERA near 5. But how about the game plan for success being the Yankees lineup, also adding Edwin Encarnacion, as though they needed another big bat, and they'll get Giancarlo Stanton back as well. Napa Auto Parts is the expertise in parts that you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. So the details of the David Ortiz situation just continue to get better and better by the day. And we've already talked about how ridiculous some of the nicknames were in this, that there was a woman involved named Red, and that, amazingly, media outlets of the Dominican Republic and across seas in Europe are reporting that the person that put the hit on David Ortiz was a drug lord because David Ortiz was hooking up with his wife. That Ortiz has a mistress in the Dominican Republic and she is married to a drug lord. That people around David Ortiz said, stay away, don't do it, you're getting yourself jammed up. And he didn't think that he needed to listen to that advice. He thought that he's such a god in the Dominican Republic that he would be safe no matter what. And he ends up getting shot and the bullet goes through him. And they've got to have surgery. He's going to be flown out of the DR and to Boston. He's had his gallbladder removed, parts of his intestine removed. Thankfully, it looks like he's going to be okay, but he's still in intensive care. And again, reports in the DR state this openly. David Ortiz was hooking up with the wife of a drug lord, and the drug lord ordered the hit. And in the UK, openly reporting this. In the U.S., nobody dares touch it. And I don't know if it's because perhaps a stricter journalism code, which would be good, or perhaps the American media doesn't want to soil the reputation of David Ortiz with something this tawdry, which is less responsible. I mean, look, if this is the story, it's the story. And does it make David Ortiz look like a good guy? No. Has he always been this big, lovable teddy bear that hits a lot of home runs in his clutch in October? Yes, but the story's the story. I don't understand protecting David Ortiz here if that's what they're doing. And if the American media can't find facts to be able to effectively report this, then why not just ask the Dominican reports and the UK reports how they got confirmation, because they got it. I don't know if the American media feels uncomfortable because this is, again, like tabloid stuff, but this is what's happening. And I've always believed you don't need to hide information from people. Anyway, it's kind of amazing because when you read the reports coming from the States on this, they still won't give a motive. They still are acting like they have no idea how it was carried out or who was carried out by or who ordered the hit, etc. But now, finally, the American media has named another suspect, and this is coming from the Dominican media, named Bone.
Rubbing bone on bone.
A judge held a hearing closed to the public for another suspect identified as Alberto Miguel Rodriguez Mota, nicknamed Bone.
Bone on bone.
Now, Bone is accused of being the liaison between the alleged hitman and the person who paid them.
Bone.
So they still... they still won't identify the drug lord. Maybe the American media is scared of this drug lord, but I would be far more scared of the drug lord of identifying him in the Dominican Republic versus the U.S. So now they're trying to say, well, okay, Bone was the liaison that gave the money to the hitmen, but we don't know who paid Bone.
Bone on bone.
My favorite part about the newest release is that, quote, the documents state that Perez sold a gold-colored iPhone 6 used to plan the attack to a woman for $180 so that he could get rid of the evidence a day after the shooting. Okay, this sounds right. Somebody like Bone uses his phone to call. Bone uses the phone to call the hitman. Okay, this is the transaction, or this is where he is, or okay, here's the information that you need. And then he sells the phone the next day. Bone sells the phone.
Phone on phone.
But authorities claim the phone was giving him problems, and that's why he sold it. So are we saying that the Dominican authorities believe that Bone just had a glitch in his iPhone the next day after the shooting, and it was like, oh, I don't want this anymore?
Phone.
Twitter's not opening correctly. I got to get rid of this phone.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
I mean, I don't understand why this is so hard to report and understand where the logic is. We don't have to guess how Bone got paid.
Phone.
Bone got paid from the drug lord because Poppy was sleeping with his wife, and
Phone on phone.
Called the hitman to act it out, had the phone, and then got rid of the phone because it had evidence on it. not because he didn't get a good enough signal. I'm only getting two bars. I got to get rid of this phone. Oh, it just so happens the day after I called a hit on Big Poppy. It's like international news. It's just total coincidence. Bone.
Bone. Bone on bone.
It's true. Bone on bone crime. It's time for Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Perez, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm actually gonna trash myself today. And the reason I'm going to do that is pouring rain in New York City this morning. Pouring. I mean, buckets, DA. And I get on the subway, minding my business, listening to music, trying to get in the zone, trying to scan some stories, if you will. And we pull up to my stop. I get out. I walk up the stairs. I turn left. I turn right. I look for our building. And I realize I've gotten off the wrong subway stop. And it is now pouring buckets on me. And if you'll notice at watchda.com, I'm wearing a stained gym t-shirt I planned on wearing today.
Yeah.
And I have hung my Giancarlo Stanton jersey I wore because I had to then walk about 10 blocks in pouring rain because I missed my subway. And I don't want to wait another 10 minutes for the next one. Because frankly, as has happened with the show numerous times, I just wasn't paying attention. I got off the wrong stop and didn't even realize when I walked off. I didn't even realize until I walked out. And I was like, wait, what world am I in?
That sounds about right.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Were you locked into something important or just daydreaming?
I actually was just trying to find the Big Little Lies theme song on Spotify.
Nice.
Eventually, I found it, though.
So definitely nothing about the show.
No, not at all. But I found the song.
Okay, good. Good. Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I am trashing the chairman that came in here yesterday.
Chairman of the board.
Yes, we had, as we have documented on numerous occasions, our chairs in the control room and in the studio have been broken for a number of years, I would say.
Yeah, they don't have armrests.
Right, and so they finally had someone come in and repair the chairs. I mean, for 5 years, it took 5 minutes to repair the chairs. That's one thing. And the other thing is, can you make enough noise during our show yesterday? These guys are in here making all this noise like we're not on the air. I mean, have some sense. Get them out.
You're so trashy.
Let's just go back over the details here because CBS must have got them on discount, office chairs that had the weakest armrests in the history of armrests. I've never sat in another office chair in any one of my jobs, any other office building ever where there was no armrest. I've never had an armrest fall off. Somehow it was like an exploding cigar. Every single one of our chairs, both armrests fell off. I mean, right now, Bellotti is holding it up like Babe Ruth holding up like a 5-point buck. I mean, for some reason, we had armrests just fall off and nobody ever fixed them. So it leads to really poor posture. It probably exacerbates my bad lower back anyway. You've got no support of the arm. So then yesterday, out of nowhere, the chairmen come along, this army of chair fixers, and they burst in like wild banshees to the control room. And they're like, we've got to fix the chair arms right now.
Like, they could not wait until 7 o'clock p.m. when Bill Ryder is doing it from L.A. Couldn't wait. Could not do this on the weekend when we have shows from Cleveland or Houston or Boston. No, had to do it right now. That's it. The chairmen apparently are under really strict timelines. Okay, they've got a lot of chairs to fix around this big city. And so we've got like a 10-minute block for CBS. So they burst in and they start fixing all the chairs. Now, do you guys now finally have the armrests?
Yeah, one of mine is getting a little flimsy already.
Though. Already?
Already.
Now, I still don't have armrests on my chair. So they didn't deal with anything in the studio. Just
no,
the control room.
Just the control room. They had to take care of us, make sure we were comfortable. But I got to be honest with you, not exactly the sturdiest.
Yeah, they fixed my arms on the chair, but the wheels still don't work.
Okay, well, I guess baby steps for us here at CBS. So we've got arms, but no wheels. Jay Berman is in for Andrew Bogus today. Jay Berman, who are you trashing?
Well, it's been a while since I have been able to trash someone on the air, so I'm going to take a deep three here.
Okay.
Yesterday, I'm manscaping.
Aha, this is a real deep three.
And
The logo.
Let me ask you this. I'll ask you.
It's not
you
usually how trashes go, but okay.
Should I name the brand, the product name?
I would say yes. Both of the other guys are saying no. The bald guys are saying no, so no.
No. Okay, fine. Well, this particular brand of manscaping equipment swears that you'll never get a nick.
Aha. Uh-huh. A New York nick.
And I did.
You got nicked.
So I had a handful of blood while manscaping. So despite the fact that I'm not allowed to name this brand, that's who I'm trashing today.
Trash them.
Stinky debris.
That's a deep three from the logo, and it's good.
There's blood everywhere.
Is Berman going to survive? I'm walking down the street yesterday, and what appears to be a homely, perhaps homeless, crusty bum comes walking towards me, okay? And I'm usually a pretty giving guy. I want to believe the best in people. This guy basically looked like Santa Claus had been living underneath a bridge for 2 years. So he's down in his luck, Santa Claus. So he's walking towards me. All right. And I'm looking and I'm like, something's weird about this guy. And you know, sometimes you just don't want to make eye contact with the bum because you know that that opens up the whole conversation and the bum's going to ask you for something and you just don't want to get into it with the bum. And I'm looking, I'm like, something's wrong with this guy. And then I look and I go, oh yeah, he's got no shoes. Okay, so he's in just socks. Then he gets closer and his socks are half off. So his socks are bunched up at his toes, but his heels have no socks on. He's walking down the sidewalk in the middle of New York City. And I'm looking at his feet and I'm like, I should not look at this because it's going to engage him. And of course, that's exactly what it does. He stops in front of me, turns to me, makes eye contact and says, you got some money for a coffee, man? And I'm like, a coffee? And I didn't say this. Dude, you got no shoes. You got half a sock. Let's start with footwear here. You live in New York City. Forget the coffee, man. And I don't know if he's asking me for coffee money because he thinks it's easier to ask me for coffee money instead of maybe alcohol money or drug money or maybe even shoe money. But if he goes, hey, man, I got no shoes, I'd be like, now that's a legitimate request. I can see you have no shoes. You know, you never know. A bum could be asking for something that he actually has taken care of. In this case, he's got no shoes on. If he had shoes, he'd be wearing shoes. He's got half socks. Just say, can I have money for socks? I'd be like, you do need socks. I got some cash for you. You do need shoes. I can help you out there. But coffee, this bum's priorities were totally off there. So I'm trashing him because for some reason his priorities are way off or he's lying to me about what he's going to use the money for.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
I think it's your duty there to take off your shoes and give them to him.
He needs my shoes now.
So I'm writing recommendation letters for people that I don't know, and I'm giving my shoes to bums.
You're starting to have a track record here. I remember distinctly in Atlanta walking out with leftovers and a bum asking for leftovers, and you being so proud of me that I would not give up the leftovers.
It was too good.
It was too good.
The restaurant was too tasty.
And now, you see a hapless bum with half a sock and no shoes. Hey, take off your New Balances and throw them over to him.
But then I have no shoes, and then I have no way to get home.
You got 43 pairs at home. You hop in an Uber, you figure it out.
Okay, so I'm now going to ride across the city an Uber with no shoes on.
If it helps the homeless, sure.
So I'm sure you've given your shoes to bums before.
I've never seen a shoeless bum. If I did and they asked me for coffee, I'd look down and say, you want my shoes instead? I'd call their bluff.
Shoeless Bum Jackson?
Bum Jackson.
Banned from Cooperstown?
I'll give him my shoes. I donate all the time.
I donate all the time as well. I donate constantly. But if a bum's got no shoes on, I don't know. I don't know if I can help you here, bud.
Maybe the coffee will give him energy to get over to a sneaker store.
Maybe warm up his tootsies. When we come back here on the DA Show, the Pelicans are looking to get aggressive, it sounds like, with all the assets they got for the Lakers. Could the Pelicans be a sleepy, sneaky good team this year? That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.